There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Kia ora everybody, I'm Jordan, host of the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. It's my hope that you find support and comfort in these stories, and I'm really looking forward to bringing you today's episode. Just a reminder before we get started that these are personal experiences and you should always seek medical advice before making any important decisions. I'm not an advocate for any particular model of birth or birth care, and this is simply a platform to share these empowering Kiwi birth tales with you all.
This episode of Kiwi Birth Tales is sponsored by Made With Love Pregnancy Journals. Made With Love is a complete pregnancy journal designed to be used right from the decision to try and conceive. Best known for the Little White Book wedding planner, Megan Hutchinson created Made With Love with the help of mothers, fathers, and a midwife to ensure it was perfectly designed for every stage of the journey to parenthood. She wrote it while pregnant herself, customizing each week's pages with an understanding of the specific stage of pregnancy the user would be going through. Made With Love is comprehensive with regular checklists throughout. Plenty of extra pages for photos and notes, dedicated partner's notes, LMC and scan appointment pages, baby shopping and hospital bag checklists, antenatal appointments, records and reflections post-birth. It is suitable for all couples, including those using any kind of fertility assistance. Available via shesaidyes.co.nz, at Dimples, Global Baby or Google Made With Love Pregnancy Journal for more stockists. Thanks so much, Meg, from Made With Love for coming on board and sponsoring this episode of the podcast. I really appreciate your support. In this week's episode of the podcast, I speak with Julia Matthews about the birth of her son, Lenny. Julia takes us through her pregnancy journey and Lenny measuring about 4 weeks ahead consistently throughout her whole pregnancy, then the decision to have an elective caesarean after being told that Lenny would be around 5 kilos at birth. Julia then takes us through her elective C-section and little Lenny's arm being unfortunately broken as he was pulled out during the caesarean. She takes us through how they managed that process post-birth and then into her postpartum journey. So it's a really interesting episode. Julia's super honest and, yeah, it was just really lovely to chat with her. So I hope you enjoy the episode as much as I do. Let's jump into it. Hi, Julia. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Hi, Jordan.
Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about you and who's in your family?
Yeah, sure. My name's Julia. I am a mum of one. I have a 5-week-old son called Lenny, and I live in Auckland with my partner, Cam.
Yeah, awesome. And I think, I've been following you on Instagram for ages, so I know a little bit about your business, but do you want to tell us a little bit more about Two Islands before we jump into it?
Yeah, sure. I have a company called Two Islands. My background's nutrition. So it's a food company and we have supplements. So we've got plant-based proteins and marine collagens, and we're just about to launch our first dietary supplement next week, actually. So I've had that business now for 2.5 years. And I do that full time and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. And I saw on your Instagram, I guess a while ago now, that you had gone through the egg freezing process. So do you want to talk us through that decision and sort of that journey before we jump into your pregnancy?
Yeah, sure. So when I was actually living in Sydney and studying nutrition, when I was studying the fertility part, learnt all about fertility and pregnancy, and learned about something, a test that you could get done to test, I guess, your egg stores, because once your eggs are gone, they're gone. And I was just interested in, I guess, being my own guinea pig. So I went and had the test done myself and learned that at age 28, I had the egg count of a 38-year-old. So I was like, okay, I've got low egg count. And I knew I wanted to have children. And I was in a relationship at the time, actually, but I broke up with him not long after, moved back home to New Zealand. And I've kind of thought about it again. So I went and had the test done again, the blood test done again. And I still had really low egg count. Yeah. So I went and saw Fertility Associates in Auckland and spoke to one of the doctors there about my options. And she said, I would highly recommend that you freeze your eggs if you're wanting to have children. She said, you know, it's not that you can't get pregnant. It's that, you know, if you want one, two or three children, by the time maybe you get to your second or your third, you could potentially not have any eggs left. So I started on, I was like, cool, yeah, I want to do it. I want to freeze my eggs, and started that whole process. So it's not as intense as I maybe thought it would be. It was just taking, I guess, medication and then starting the injections. So it took me a really long time to actually ovulate. So I had to take inject myself for a lot longer than you normally would. But when I did eventually get time to harvest the eggs, when my follicles were a certain size, ended up getting 16 eggs out, which was great. And 12 of them were mature enough to be frozen. So, I mean, when I first went and saw the doctor, she was like, oh, we'll probably be lucky if we'll get, you know, maybe two eggs. So getting as many as I did was fantastic. So that was that. I highly recommend that to anyone. If you're, you know, thinking about having children, but you're not quite ready yet, and you are, you know, I'm 34 now. I've just turned 34 now. But I knew at, you know, 28 that I had really low egg count. And, you know, I've spoken to women who, like, I wish I knew about this test, because if I had known, I potentially would have been able to have children, and that they've got to the point where they've got no eggs left and they can't have children, which is so sad when, you know, you can know what your egg count is. You know, it's not exact, but you can have an idea of what it is just by having a simple blood test. You know, you go to your doctor, you say you want your AMH levels tested, they write your script, you got a lab test, and I think it's about $80. And from there, you kind of had an idea. I mean, I did the test twice, and both times my levels were really low. So if you are thinking about having children, but you're not in a relationship, or maybe you are in a relationship, I call it like my insurance policy. I'm so glad that I did it. So I've got those eggs sitting there, you know, just in case I do get to maybe, you know, 38 and I want a, you know, second or third child, and I didn't have any eggs left, then I'd have the ones sitting there in the freezer to use.
Yeah. Awesome. And so will they just sort of stay there? Do you pay to keep them in the freezer, or how does that work?
Yeah, so you do pay to keep them in the freezer. I pay, I think, every 6 months or something. I can't remember how much. It's not a massive amount. But you can have them there for as long as you want. So, and the fees actually come down. You know, what I paid was, especially because I had to take the medication for a lot longer, so that added more cost on. But I think it's come down to around $10,000. New Zealand's probably one of the most expensive places to freeze your eggs. I know in Australia you can do it and it's probably a quarter of the price, or maybe even more than that. But you don't have to pay it all up front. You can't really put a price on a child, can you? So I definitely saved my pennies to get that done.
Awesome. And so fast forward to, I guess, a year or so ago, and do you want to talk us through, just over 9 months ago, do you want to talk us through what the journey to pregnancy was like for you?
Yeah, so I had been in a relationship with Cam for, maybe 6 months. We found out we were pregnant. We knew that we both wanted children, and he's 41 and I've just turned 34. So we're like, okay, time's not really on our side. It wasn't a planned pregnancy, but we weren't exactly being careful. So it was actually a Bali baby. And Yeah. So it was a surprise, but not really a surprise, because, you know,
yeah,
if you're not being careful, yeah, these things can happen. Sure. So yeah, grateful that I didn't have to use any of the eggs. It just kind of happened naturally, which was really nice.
Yeah, cool. And how did you sort of find out that you were pregnant? Did you miss a period, or you had other symptoms that made you think you might be?
Yeah, well, my cycle was usually very, like, I was usually really on time. I have a really short cycle, so around every like 23 days I would expect my period. And it was maybe late by a few days, but I didn't actually even think about that. It was that week I felt a little bit all nauseous, and I'm not really one to get headaches or kind of feel sick. And I just thought, oh, maybe I've eaten something funny, or I'm tired. And I just didn't really think any more of that. Then I was at lunch with a girlfriend, and we were sitting in the sun drinking chili margaritas, and I was like, my boobs are really sore. And she was like, you're pregnant. And I was like, no, I'm not. And then I was like, actually, I haven't been feeling that great. And I was like, checked my app that I use to track my cycle, and I was like, oh, my period, it's 3 days late. And I was like, okay, maybe I am. And then we were talking more about it, and I was like, oh, I think I am. And so we went to another place and had more cocktails, and then we went back to my house, and I was like, okay, I need to do a pregnancy test. So we went and got three tests, and it was just her and I at my house, and I did one, and it was positive. And I was like, no. And I was like, it can't be right. And then by then Cam had come home, and I didn't tell him though. And I did another test, and it was positive. And I was like, okay, I need to tell him. So I pulled him into the bathroom, and I was like, look at this. And he was like, oh my God. And he was jumping up and down. He was really excited. And I think I was kind of in shock. And that was it. So it was very casual finding out that I was pregnant.
Yeah. Did you feel like, I remember when I did the test, and even though I knew that it was like probable that I was going to be pregnant, I still felt like a teenager that really shouldn't be pregnant. I just had this like shocked, like heart racing feeling. How did you feel?
That's exactly how I felt. And I was in denial, but I was also like, well, this has to be real. Like there's, I put all these things together, and I was like, okay, I'm pregnant. But it was just so surreal. And then I got really excited, and I called, like, you know, people. I was 4 weeks pregnant. You know, I could count trace back to when I last had my period. And people usually wait till, you know, the first trimester. But I told so many of my friends. I was like excited, and I think for me that made it more real, because I was still like, this is not real. Okay, I'm going to tell people, and then that makes it more real. So called like Cam's brother and sister, and Cam's brother and partner, who they were pregnant at the same time, and then called my best friend Anna and told her, and then went to my parents' house, I think, the next night and told them.
Awesome. And how were you feeling in that first trimester? Did you have many symptoms that sort of popped up after that?
Yeah, I didn't feel that flash. It was, you know, it's that people say it's morning sickness, but then people are like, well, it's not, it's all day sickness. And it really was. Yeah. It was wake up and feel so nauseous. Luckily I maybe vomited twice. So grateful for that, because, you know, you hear some horror stories of people who just are sick their whole way through. So didn't feel flash, but battled through it, and would get really tired in the afternoon, and my brain would kind of switch off. So I would end up going home early, just ate everything beige, rest home diet, as I called it, all the carbs. The thought of a salad made me feel, like literally make me gag. I lived off burgers. So it was either Burger Fuel or McDonald's. I would eat kind of on the regular. I was like, this poor baby, I'm supposed to be eating all this good stuff. And I was like, it's the size of a grain of rice. It's not really, it's going to get everything it needs from my stores. So didn't feel great, but knew it could be a lot worse. So I just kind of battled through it. And that lasts probably till about, it kind of died down a little bit in the second trimester, but there were still days I'd feel really awful and got quite tired. And then probably around 24, 26 week mark, it all went, and I felt great. Like, I felt really good, and like physically and mentally I felt great. So, and I was really happy. Like, I actually got a bump. I was like, okay, I'm past that stage of looking like I've eaten too many pies, and I actually looked pretty good. And that was really nice to actually start. I'm not really one to wear tight clothes, but I was like, oh, I was like buying like tight dresses, and I was quite enjoying having a bump, and I do actually really miss it now, because it was kind of nice. To have it there. So yeah, it was great when I started feeling good. So that was around, you know, like the 26 week mark, that that kind of all day sickness and lethargic feeling went away.
Did you manage to stay quite active throughout your pregnancy, or how did you find sort of exercising?
Yeah, the first, I mean, when I felt sick, I was like, there's no way I'm going for a walk. So the times when I did feel good, I really took advantage of that and worked out. So I was going to Pilates for a little bit, and I mean I've got a dog, so I'm very mindful of her needing a walk every day. So that was kind of my motivation. I was like, okay, Penelope needs to be walked. She needs to be walked. So when I got into the, when the sickness went away, I was back to exercising, you know, 5 days a week. And then towards the end, in my third trimester, I had a personal trainer, and I would see her twice a week. But then, of course, there was lockdown. So, it was kind of after lockdown had finished that I really utilized the personal trainer, because I didn't really want to work out. I didn't really, wasn't really motivated to, which is why I was like, okay, I'm not going to hit the gym by myself. So get a trainer, and then just continued to walk as much as I could until I was, you know, I was sometimes going for like hour and a half walks. And then I got to the point, maybe I was like 36 weeks, and I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. No more long walks. I'll just go for a little half an hour one here and there. But yeah, it's hard, you know, when you're not feeling great, you feel like you should, you know, it's of course great to keep active for your physical and mental health. But at the times when you should be eating really well and you should be moving your body is the times that you just don't feel great. So it's a real internal battle that I had with myself of kind of trying not to feel guilty for not exercising, and then also like, okay, no, you're growing a baby, give yourself a break. But then also, yeah, you're growing a baby, so you should be exercising. So it's something that I had to kind of give myself pep talks, just like, get over it, Julia, just sit down, it's okay.
Awesome. And what sort of testing did you choose to do in your pregnancy? Did you do sort of all the standard testing that's offered in New Zealand?
Yeah, all the standard testing. And I mean, I was, I wasn't excited to be pregnant, I think, because it wasn't planned. And I just didn't feel, I'm not quite sure. I just didn't get that really excited feeling, or that real nesting or like nurturing or like talking to my baby. I didn't kind of get that. So I was like, okay, maybe if I find out the sex, then I'll be like, hello, and we'll talk to him or her. So I did the 10 week, I think it's called the NIPT test. The one that you can do at 10 weeks to find out the sex. So I did that, really wanted a girl, found out I was having a boy, cried, called my best friend who's got twin boys. And she was like, oh no, penises are way so much easier to deal with. and she was like, no, having a boy is great. So, I got over that pretty quick. I was like, don't be silly, Julie. I think I had all girl names picked out. And so for me, that was kind of my way of being excited, because I was like, I've got a name and girls' clothes are really cute. And then I was like, it's like you're having a boy. And I was like, oh God. I soon really got over that, because all of my friends, bar one, have boys. So it was nice. And I was like, give me all the tips. And so I did that 10-week test. And then because Lenny was tracking so big, midwives and doctors were like, oh, you've probably got diabetes. So they're like, you need to do the diabetes test, which I didn't actually know that you don't actually have to do. I thought you had to do that. So I did that, and that was really awful. Had to do that during lockdown as well. And yeah, that was a horrible test, but no, it didn't have gestational diabetes. So yeah, I did everything, had all my ultrasounds when I was supposed to. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And were you with a midwife or an obstetrician?
Yeah, I chose a midwife. Absolutely love her. Saw her today. Yeah. Love my midwife. She's fantastic. Yeah,
awesome. Cool. And did you do any antenatal classes or sort of birth education before your labor?
And we found we were booked into an antenatal class, and then lockdown happened, so it got cancelled. Mm-hmm. So I ended up doing the Hatched, by Carmen. Ended up doing that online, which was really, really interesting. Learned so much. I didn't know there were phases to labour and all of that. I mean, the antenatal classes typically really focus on going into labor and having like a vaginal birth. There's not much covered for cesareans, which I found really interesting. And I didn't, you know, I didn't, you know, I ended up having a cesarean and I didn't think I would have one. So I didn't even think about that. I was like, okay, this is great. I've got all the tips, everything I need to know about labor. And then I ended up booking in for a C-section. So I was like, oh, okay. I don't actually know a hell of a lot about them, like, because you don't learn much about them in the antenatal class. But no, it was fantastic and really nice to be able to do it online and go through at your own pace and go through and listen to things again. I really enjoyed that. And I didn't read anything else, so I thought my kind of way I looked at pregnancy, I don't like to really overthink things too much. And I thought, okay, my midwife's going to tell me everything I need to know, all the really important stuff and all the you have to know this information, my midwife is going to tell me. And I thought the less I know or the less I read, the better, because every birth is so different. And I didn't want to read one thing and think in my head that that was how things would happen for me.
Yeah.
I got a hypnobirthing book and I probably read one chapter and I was like, this is too good to be true. but I was like, I didn't again want to set myself up and have expectations of being able to have a birth like that and set myself up for disappointment. I mean, that was just how I thought about things, but I know people that have gone down that route and done hypnobirthing classes and ended up having a cesarean, but found things really helpful in that. But my kind of thing was like, okay, everything I need to know my midwife is going to tell me, and anything else can be a surprise.
Awesome. And so you said that you ended up booking in for a cesarean. Do you want to take us through how you ended up at that point?
So the whole way along, I guess especially when I got to like from 20 week scan onwards, Lenny was always tracking 4 weeks ahead. And a lot of people were like, oh, scans are really, they're not accurate. He won't be that far ahead. But it was consistent every single time he was measuring 4 weeks ahead. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm going to have a really big baby. And when I got to my 34-week scan, I think it was, maybe 36-week scan actually. Yeah, 36-week scan. He was tracking to be, they thought, maybe around the 5 kilo mark.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, you'll need to wait till you have your 38-week scan and then we can kind of make a plan. So I, at 36-week mark, I sat down with my midwife and we chatted the birth plan and I was like, please book me into birth care. I would love to have a water birth. And I knew, you know, at birth care that you can't have any pain relief. So I was like, if I'm there and can't have pain relief, I'm not going to be able to ask for it because I can't have it. So that's why I was like, okay, I would love if I can to have a water birth. I've been watching lots of water births on YouTube. And I was like, I can do that. I can totally do that. So booked into birth care. And that was kind of my plan. But my whole pregnancy, I'd been really open to anything happening because a lot of people have birth plans and they don't go to plan and they get really disappointed. So I didn't want that. I thought if I can, I'll book into birth care, have the baby there, and that would be lovely. But if anything else happens. So when I had my scan and they said, right, okay, your baby's 5 kilos. Once your baby gets to the 5 kilo mark, you can elect for a C-section. And so I had a really good chat to my midwife And she said, well, these are all the risks. If you have a big baby and you push a big baby out, this is what can happen. Or you can have a C-section, and this is also what can happen if you have a C-section, and these are also things that can happen. I spoke to lots of friends, and I spoke to a few people who had big babies and pushed them out and heard some of their stories. And for me, that was kind of enough to go, oh, okay, yeah maybe I would prefer to have a C-section. And it wasn't really a massively hard decision to make, because I just thought, I don't want to risk pushing him out and him getting stuck and then ending up having an emergency C-section anyway. So because he was tracking so big, they didn't want me to go to full term. Mm. So they said, regardless, we would induce you anyway. And I really didn't want to, well, I wanted to avoid big induce if I could, because again, a lot of people I'd spoken to who had been induced ended up having emergency C-sections. And yeah, it was just kind of, I spoke to a lot of people, and kind of thought, okay, I think this is the best option for me. And yeah, I'm really glad that I did go down that route. Cause when, after I'd had Lenny, I spoke to the obstetrician. He was like, there's no way you would have been able to push that baby out. So I was like, okay, great. Great. But yeah, it's something I never thought I would do. I was like, I'm not having a C-section. You know, I really want to try and push his baby out. You know, that was in the beginning of my pregnancy, but when he was tracking back, I was like, okay, no, C-section is the best option. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And so you were booked in. Do you want to take us through sort of the preparation for that day and then how the day sort of played out?
Yeah, sure. So once I said to my midwife, cool, yeah, I would like a C-section, she then, she works with a few obstetricians, and she got me booked in to have, I guess, kind of like a pre-op meeting or chat with an obstetrician. And he ran me through and was like, he kind of did what my midwife did and said, these are the risks to pushing a big baby out. And if you want to have a C-section, this is what happens. And I said, yep, no, I definitely would like a C-section. He said, okay, cool. Well, we're going to book you in when you're 39 weeks. And I was like, great. And then that was kind of it. And then I received a few phone calls from Auckland Hospital. And they just gave me information I need, like what time I had to turn up on the day. So when I was 39 weeks, it was a Friday. And I knew I had to be at the hospital at 7 a.m. I was booked in to be the second. I was second on the list to be booked in. I didn't actually know who my obstetrician was until the day. And so I went to the hospital. Cam and I went to the hospital at 7 a.m. and I got into my beautiful gown. But then we had a bit of a scare, because my midwife came in, Carly, and she was like, there's a bit of a bed lock. And that had happened because there were must have been lots of emergency C-sections the night before. So they didn't have enough beds. And they were like, we don't actually know if you can have your baby today. And so I was like, oh, so you're kidding me. Because if I hadn't been able to have him on that Friday, it would have had to be the following Monday. And I was like, oh, no, this can't happen. I'm so ready. I'm ready to have him today. And luckily a bed became available. But unfortunately, everyone behind me on the list got cancelled, that would have been so awful. So there was a lot of waiting around, and it was kind of, that's when I got a little bit nervous, all the waiting around at the hospital, not knowing exactly when I was going to go in. And I just didn't really, I knew what to expect, but I don't think anything can really prepare you for like walking into theatre. It's just sterile and bright, and there's equipment everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I walked in and I was kind of like, oh my God. And they're like, okay, get down on the bed and put your chin to your chest, and we're going to put your spinal in, which these are all things that I knew were going to happen because I chatted to all the doctors beforehand. But yeah, I don't think anything could prepare you for walking into theatre. But everyone was so lovely, and you know, any questions you had, they would answer them, and, you know, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. And my midwife was there, so that was really reassuring and comforting to see her. And, yeah, then had the spinal put in, had the little ice test, And yeah, away we go. I was like, don't tell me when you're going to start. I don't want to know. I don't want to know when you're going to cut me open. Yeah. And so everyone was kind of chatting to me, and then all of a sudden things were happening. And because Lenny was so big, the obstetrician, the babies, they get their head obviously comes out first, and then they usually pull both the shoulders out, and the shoulders are usually the same width as the head, but they pulled Lenny's head out and they were like, okay, no, his shoulders aren't going to come out. So they pulled him one shoulder out, and then at one time, and then went to pull the second shoulder out, and his arm was stuck behind my pelvis. Mm. So when they pulled him out, the obstetrician goes, oh, I heard a click. I think your baby's arm has broken. And I was kind of on the table, and I'd been heaving, trying not to vomit, because it was just so, there's so much pressure. Yeah. Obviously it doesn't hurt, but it's all that pressure. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was in a little bit of la la land. And I, you know, I heard the, I asked for the drapes to be put down.
Yeah.
And they put the drapes down. So I saw him being pulled out. But it was, God, it was just such a blur. And then they sent him away for an x-ray when I was in recovery. But I spoke to my midwife and I was like, I would love a gentle section. So I was like, I would love delayed core clamping. You know, can you have the drapes down? Can I have skin to skin straight away? And that was all kind of the plan. But then when his arm broke, they took him away straight away just to clean him up and weigh him and check his arm, because the obstetrician was like, I think it's broken. I heard a click, but I'm not 100% sure. And then when they checked him over, they were like, yeah, his arm was kind of all floppy. So I got to have a little cuddle with him when they were sewing me back up. And then they wheeled me to recovery, and then they sent him away with Cam, and he had an x-ray, and then, yeah, they brought him back, and they were like, oh, yeah, that's a good break. So his humerus was like, it was like a clean cut,
yeah.
Like the bone snapped completely in half. Yeah, so it was a crazy entrance into the world for him, and a little bit scary, but, I mean, you're in hospital, you are in the best place you can be for something like that to happen. So yeah, a completely different birth to what I had thought would happen, but, you know, I'm, you know, happy with how everything went, happy that I chose a C-section, and then, you know, so grateful for the amazing, hospital care that we have in New Zealand, and how lovely everyone was and kind and kept me informed every step of the way,
yeah.
From when I was theatre and everything that was happening with Lenny, and the baby doctors was so lovely. Yeah, so that was Lenny's little entrance into the world.
Yeah. And how did Cam go? Did he watch Lenny being born, or how did he find your C-section?
Yeah, he was like, oh, I don't really want to look. He was a little bit squirmish, but something in him just flipped, and standing up, taking. I've got some incredible photos of Lenny being pulled out. So really cool photos. Yeah, so Cam was standing up and had the camera as close as he could. Yeah, taking photos. But then at the same time, like, trying to hold my hand. And it just happens. It happens so quickly. Yeah. And it is just such a – I'm really glad that he brought his camera in and felt like he could stand up and take photos. So, it was – yeah, good to have him there for sure, and really nice to have the support.
Yeah, cool. And how did you go? So obviously they take Lenny for an x-ray and then bring him back to you. So did you have your first latch then, and do you want to talk us through sort of the next couple of hours after that?
Yeah, I did. So in recovery, I didn't perhaps realise, I mean, all the doctors are like, look, his arm is broken, but it's going to heal. He's okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't perhaps realize, I think everything was happened so quickly, and I was quite out of it, I guess, that I didn't maybe realize how painful it was for him.
Yeah.
And he was still quite sleepy, and he was so jaundiced, and because he was such a big baby, he was just really sleepy. So I, when I was in recovery, had my first latch, and it was quite tricky to feed him because I had to be mindful of his arm, and try not to touch it, and trying to, get them in the right position. So yeah, first latch there, and then I was wheeled through to my room, and he was asleep. He just didn't really want to get on the boat.
Yeah.
I would put him on and he would just fall asleep straight away. So yeah,
big boys,
I ended up having to pump and feed him through a little tube.
Syringe?
A syringe, thank you. I ended up having to feed him through a syringe. We ended up staying in hospital for 3 nights because of his arm. They just wanted to kind of keep monitor it, and I really wanted the help. So ended up staying for 3 nights, and pumping and feeding him through a syringe, but then also trying to feed him directly on my breast. But it was he just would fall asleep, and he would go hours without wanting to be fed. So it was trying to wake him up and feeding him, just putting the syringe into his mouth. And my milk came in probably, I think on the third day, and I was pumping and getting a lot out, which was great. So I was able to feed him lots because he was hungry, but it was just trying to get him awake to feed him properly. So, after 3 nights in hospital, I was like, I definitely want to go to birth care because I wanted help, the midwives to help. Even though you get help in the hospital, it's either a midwife or a nurse. And I was really mindful of the hospitals being so busy. So I was almost like, I don't want to constantly get someone to come to my room and help me. So, and there was a lactation consultant who came in on the last day who was fantastic as well. And it's, really interesting. Everyone has, all the midwives and nurses had different ways of how they wanted things done. I wasn't even sure how much to feed Lenny through a syringe, and everyone had different kind of ideas. So that was, I found that quite challenging and almost a little bit stressful, not knowing if I was feeding him enough or was I feeding him too much or how often I had to feed him. Some midwives were saying feed him on demand, and some were saying, no, you need to wake him up and feed him every 2 hours or every 4 hours. So it was all lots of different information, and I didn't really know what was right or what was wrong, or if anything was right or anything was wrong. And because he was just so, so unbelievably sleepy, and he was on pain meds, which that knocked him out even more.
Yeah.
If I was to feed him on demand, he would have gone the whole day without feeding because he just was asleep the whole time. It took him like a good 2 weeks to kind of really wake up. So feeding was a little challenging, I would definitely say that.
Yeah. And how did you find it when you left birth care and sort of came home, and obviously your whole life has changed with this new little baby, and how did you find that?
So birth care was fantastic. The midwives were just incredible.
Yeah.
They were like, every single time you feed, you call us, we'll be there every single time. And they didn't make you kind of feel like a burden. So it was fantastic having their help and their support. And I almost wanted to stay longer there, but because I'd already been in hospital for 3 nights, I just want my own bed. So I organized with my midwife. She came in to visit me at birth care a few times, and she organized with a lactation consultant to come and see me.
Cool.
Because I think because my boobs, I've already got big boobs, and they were just giant.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to properly latch, so we think it was a combination of my boobs being really giant and also him just being quite sleepy, not able to latch properly. And then I was quite stressed when I knew that I had to go home. Well, when I knew I was going home, even though it was my decision to go home because I wanted my own bed, I was just a bit worried. I was like, oh, what if I'm not going to be able to feed him, and I'm going to have to keep pumping. And but I was like, if I need to put him on formula, that I'm absolutely fine with that. I would rather have a heavy full baby than be trying to fuss around and get him to feed on my boobs. Yeah. So, but I really wanted to persist with breastfeeding. So got home and I was just pumping and again kept feeding him through a syringe, but then also trying to get him to feed, but he would just get quite agitated and just wasn't able to latch properly. And then my best friend came over, Anna, and she was like, why don't you try a nipple shield? And I was like, I wouldn't have even thought of that. Mm. I'd never know what a nipple shield was. And it just happened that one of my friends who gave me a whole bag full of baby stuff, she had nipple shields that she never used. And she was had one in the bag, and I was like, "That's right, Sophie has given me one." So I put it on, and he latched straight away. Ooh. And I wanted to cry. I was so happy. I was like, "Oh my god, I can feed my baby. This is the best." So, yeah. And we sent Cam away straight away to go to the chemist, to go to the pharmacy, and get one that was the correct size, because the one I had was a little bit small. So for me, that was an absolute game changer, and it just helped me feel so at ease. And also, pumping is, you know, even though it's great to be able to pump, it was just getting quite taxing. I was like, oh, I don't want to have to be doing this all day if I don't have to. So grateful to have the nipple shield. But then again, he was still really sleepy, falling asleep on the boob. So I was having to top him up 50 mils after each feed. I would just pump in the morning when I had lots of milk, and I was able to get enough milk for the whole day just from one pump. So, and he took a bottle straight away, which was great to be able to top him up. And there were some nights where I wasn't able to get enough milk, so I gave him formula. So I'd give him formula at night before bed, so he had a nice full tummy and he was able to sleep because he was happy, because he was full. So yeah, breastfeeding, challenging, it still kind of is. I haven't had to use a nipple shield now all week, has been so great. Yeah. So he's been just feeding, but my milk just... he guzzles and it just shoots out, and he starts choking, and I'm still not able to feed him properly on one side, just because his arm was broken. The muscles in his shoulder are really tight, so he can't fully put his shoulder down on one side. So I'm getting the lactation consultant to come back next week, and I actually took him to the osteo today, which was incredible. And she did a lot of work on him, so I'm hoping he'll have a really nice long sleep tonight. Yeah. He's nice and relaxed from the osteo. So, yeah, breastfeeding challenging, definitely persisting with it. Really great to have the formula at night, because he is just so hungry. To give him the formula at night and give him a big, really big feed. So, yeah, that's my little breastfeeding journey. It's definitely, I thought it would come so naturally. And I think, you know, that's kind of what you're maybe led to believe. I'm not sure that's what I knew. It wasn't easy for everyone. But I just thought it would be a lot easier than it was. And, you know, I think, you know, having the lactation consultant, which a lot of people don't know that you can, I mean, I think it depends on what DHB you are with, but I know with Auckland you can organise to have a lactation consultant come to your house, and it's completely free of charge. And when the lactation consultant came to my house, she was, I think she was with me for about 3 hours. she was so great, and that helped immensely, just positioning and little changes that I made that had such a massive improvement. And it just takes that anxiety away, because, you know, when they start fussing and they start screaming or crying because they're not able to latch properly, that can be quite stressful. So it's just trying to, you know, she's like, just remain calm and lots of tips, especially for even burping. I didn't know before I had a baby, I didn't know you had to burp a baby. And because Lenny just guzzles, all my milk comes out really fast, he gets so windy. So even like little tips on how to burp him, which was so helpful. All these little things I just didn't know before I had a baby. Yeah,
I don't think that you can. I mean, I was a similar position. I knew that you had to burp babies, and I didn't realize it was like every time that you feed them that you have to burp them.
I didn't know that either.
Cool. And what was your physical recovery like from your C-section?
I thought it would be a lot more challenging. Yeah. And I know not everyone is in the same position that I was, but I think maybe because in my head I thought it would be really hard, When it wasn't, I was quite pleasantly surprised. Yeah. I, as soon as my spinal kind of wore off, I got up straight away and I did a lap around the hospital ward. I tried to every like 1 or 2 hours do a lap around the ward, and I was really scared of getting blocked up.
Yeah.
Because everyone says, take Kiwi Crush to the hospital, take Kiwi Crush to the hospital. So I was just eating so many kiwi fruit and trying not to take too many pain meds because I was just like really worried. So I didn't quite utilize a morphine pump as much as I possibly could have. But it just wasn't as painful as I thought it would be. So I think for me, getting up and walking around straight away was really great. And then Cam stayed with me in the hospital. So having him there to pass Lenny to me when he needed to be fed, or because Lenny was, we were feeding him through a syringe, having Cam kind of get up and do that in the night or in the daytime if I was lying in bed was really great. And then we have a co-sleeper, a little bassinet next in our bedroom. Lenny sleeps in our bedroom and he sleeps on Cam's side. So at night when he needed to be fed, when we were back at home, Cam would get him out and pass him to me, which just kind of took any strain off me.
Yeah, nice.
And not as bad as I thought. Lenny's 5 weeks tomorrow. And it's a tiny bit tender, but I think that's probably when I'm maybe doing a bit too much.
Yeah.
So maybe carrying his capsule out to the car and things like that, maybe when I'm putting a bit too much pressure on it. But I've just been going for really short walks, only 20 minutes at a time. So trying to rest as much as possible, but then also trying to get up and keep my body moving when I can. I think that's was key for me for my recovery.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And what about your sort of emotional journey post-birth? So did you have any of the baby blues? And I know that you've gone back to work. So do you want to talk us through that decision and how that's sort of, how that's impacted on your mental health?
Yeah, sure. So I didn't get baby blues. I really thought I would. I thought I would battle quite a lot with that, but I didn't. But I really credit that to sitting down with Cam and having, you know, a really good conversation with him around kind of what I expected from him, I guess. I was like, we're a team. We need to, you know, I need to lean on you and you need to lean on me in order for everything to kind of the house to keep running and me to keep my anxiety at bay. So sitting down with him and saying, well, if you can do this, this, and this, that would really help. And so it's kind of like we had both of our kind of tasks, I guess, or whatever it's called, that we knew that we would do each day. So like Cam does the bath and, at night I get up, I feed Lenny and I don't, like Cam will pass him to me and go straight back to sleep so that in the morning Lenny will get up, I'll feed him around 7 and then Cam will get up with him and then I can sleep in if I need to because Cam's exhausted from staying up with me all night. So it was just those little things that I think helped us to keep everything, have kind of almost like a little routine, which is what I need for my mental health. I thrive off routine and I kind of need it to know kind of what's happening somewhat, even though things don't always go to plan when you've got a newborn. But because Lenny is such a great sleeper, he doesn't fuss, he doesn't cry, which I'm extremely grateful for because that is not the case for everyone. But having such a chilled out baby and then Cam is so chilled as well, having him chill, I think it's just really helped me keep my mental health, you know, and I guess great and not having my anxiety come back. There was the odd day I had like a cry because the house was messy, which is stupid, but that was kind of basically it. I guess the only anxiety I had was around work. And I think if, you know, anyone who has their own business will understand, you can step away, but not completely. I've got staff that work for me And I said, right, I've got 3 months off maternity leave. Message me if you really need me. But I just can't help myself. And kind of was straight away back into at least looking at emails and checking in on the girls, which, you know, I think I was able to do that so soon because Lenny sleeps so much. Yeah. So I would get, you know, 3 hour stints of him being asleep, and Cam was home because he had 3 weeks off, and I could just jump into the office at home and have Zoom calls with the girls, which again was great for, you know, my mental health, because I love working and that's what helps me feel good. So it was, it hasn't really been a juggle so far, but my kind of one thing was like, oh, when my 3 months is up and I'm going to go back to work part-time, what's that going to look like? And is he going to go to daycare, or will I get a nanny? Or, you know, my mum was going to look after Lenny when I went back to work, but then she went and got a job 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, damn you. So I've got my staff in a shared space where you can actually take babies in. So I've had the odd day that I've gone in and taken Lenny with me, and then there's been other days where Cam has been able to work from home and had Lenny, and then I've got a friend who was a nanny, and she isn't working full time at the moment, so she's been able to look after Lenny the odd days as well. And so, yeah, I've been able to go into the office and do, you know, I mean, this week I've worked pretty much every day, but Lenny's either been with me or he's been with my friend, and yeah, it's been good. And I think everything will kind of work out as it needs to when I get to the 3 month mark and I go back part time. I'm not sure how that will look, but I know that everything will kind of work itself out, and you know, I can work from home when I need as well, so that's also great. So it's nice to be flexible because I have my own business, but at the same time I'm like, it would be so great to work for someone else and be on that 12-month maternity leave and not have to hear from anyone because there's someone doing my role. So I think there's definitely pros and cons to both. But I'm really happy with how the little setup I've got going for now. So we'll see how long that lasts. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. And what about Lenny's arm? How has that healed, and are you still having problems with it, or is it pretty good now?
Yeah, it's really good. It's you know, amazing how resilient babies are and how fast things heal. You know, if it was an adult and they broke their arm, we would be in a world of pain and taking pain meds, and our arm in a cast for weeks. And, you know, after around for the first few weeks, we had him in a singlet, a really tight singlet, and we pulled the bottom half of it up just to immobilize his arm. And we would kind of not really be able to dress him properly because he only had one arm that could be used. So it was a lot of swaddling. And then each day we would kind of test it and touch it, and if he winced in pain, we were like, okay, not quite ready yet. But then it just got to one day and he started moving it. We were like, fab, okay, great. So yeah, he's 5 weeks tomorrow, and I think, you know, after 2 weeks we were able to dress him normally, and after 3 weeks it was kind of, he didn't wince or didn't cry, but definitely I think all that strain on his body, a lot of his muscles were really tense, and after going to the osteo today, she was like, oh yeah, okay, he does need a little bit of work, and he really favors one side, so he always turns his head the other way away from where his broken arm was, so for feeding that can be a little bit challenging. And she's just mindful of him, always the osteopath was really mindful of him not always sleeping on one side, because she's like, he is a giant head and it's very heavy, so just got to be careful about him not always sleeping on one side. But she did a lot of work on him today, and that's really helped. And we go to Starship when he's 6 weeks old for an x-ray just to check up and make sure everything's healed properly. But considering it was a break, there's not really much that can be done, because he, for a baby, and they, you know, every single doctor, everyone that we spoke to was like, it just heals yeah. by itself, and it heals really quickly. And it's so true. But yeah, all good for now.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And just before we wrap up, I think I loved mm-hmm. that you mentioned before that you didn't feel like overly excited about being pregnant. And I think it needs to be talked about more, that it's okay to feel that way. So I'd love for you to give a little bit of insight or advice to people listening who might be feeling the same way and are pregnant at the moment, as to sort of how you feel now and how you've made that adjustment to mum life, and if it's sort of what you expected, I guess, while you were pregnant, and maybe not feeling as excited as people who you might have known who were pregnant before.
Yeah, so I think, you know, because it wasn't planned, maybe there was not that kind of sitting around and, yeah, and yeah. waiting every month and doing a pregnancy test. I knew I'd always wanted children, but when I was pregnant, when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, I feel like I should be yeah. a lot more excited than I am. And I was like, there's something wrong with me. You know, and then I felt really ungrateful yeah. because there are so many women who can't get pregnant. And I was like, oh, am I a bad person? And I can see why people don't talk about it, because it is such a sensitive subject, because, you know, people with fertility issues, it's absolutely horrendous. It's awful. And so that's probably why people just don't touch on it, because they don't want to feel like they're offending someone. But then I, you know, kind of did speak about it, and there were so many women who were like, oh, I feel exactly the same. I feel exactly the same, and I feel bad talking about it. And I've kept it all inside, and then that's from them keeping their feelings to themselves has had a really negative impact on their mental health. So, you know, I think it's totally fine to not be excited. It's such a adjustment to find out that you are pregnant, and you've got, you know, in 9 months time, okay, you're going to have this little person that you've got to look after for yeah. the next 18 years. And so knowing that and being at peace with that can be really challenging for some people, and it was yeah. to me. I was like, I'm not excited, and okay, but that's okay, and I know that will come. So I think I just kind of gave myself pep talks, and I was like, okay, fine to not be excited, but when you have the baby, that excitement will yeah. eventually come. It may not be straight away, may take a little bit of time, but it will come. So I just kind of told myself that, and I really was at peace with that, and kind of that set me up for the rest of my pregnancy, and just having no expectations around anything, just to not set myself yeah. up for kind of any disappointment in anything to do with my pregnancy, even from feeling really sick. I was like, okay, cool, I'm sick, but in X amount of months I'm not going to be feeling sick, so look forward to that. And that really helped me, and just talking to people, because I think, you know, so many women don't talk about it, and I absolutely understand that, but you'll be surprised yeah. at how many other people feel exactly as you, because as when I spoke about it, the amount of conversations I had with women who were like, I feel exactly the same, I was like, there are so many of us that feel this way, so it's absolutely normal, and don't feel like you're an ungrateful person, because you're not, because it is just a huge, and I'm still adjusting to it. It's still so surreal that I have a child. I sometimes forget his name, or I call him her, and it just blows my mind that I have this little person who is totally dependent on me for every single thing. And I made him, I grew him, and he's so delicious and cute, and I absolutely love him, but it's still like, whoa, I have a baby. Like, it blows my mind.
Yeah. No, I think it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, and right, and a lot of, you know, in the movies, you know, people yeah. are pregnant, like jumping up and down and so excited, and everything's happy, and that's fantastic. And if I had that, hey, great. And then also when you have your baby, you know, I didn't cry yeah, and I yeah. didn't feel that instant connection and love, and I still don't. I'm not at that obsessed stage yet, like you are with Jai. I'm not quite there yet. I'm not quite there yet, but I know that will come. Yeah. Like, I absolutely love Lenny and I adore him, but I'm still getting to know him. I'm still like, you're this little person now in my life, and I'm still getting to know who you are, and you're getting to know me. And he's still so new. Yeah. Like, he's just started smiling. So I feel like he's just starting to go, mm-hmm. oh, okay, you're my mummy, and I'm getting a little bit from them. You know, in the beginning, it's just feeding, sleeping, changing nappies, feeding, sleeping, changing nappies. Now I'm getting a little bit back from him, so I feel like we're kind of starting to make this little connection, and, you know, I'm certain his little personality will come out and he'll start talking and, you know, finding his voice, and I'm really looking forward to all of those little milestones. And that's something that I knew that I was like, okay, if the you know, the absolute love for him doesn't come straight away, I know that it will come, and just to look forward to all the little things in between, and just giving yourself time to adjust and to settle into it. It's just so overwhelming. It is just, and nothing will, nothing can ever prepare you for all the different feelings that you will feel when you have a baby. And it's you, like, the baby is totally dependent on you to keep them warm and keep them happy and keep their tummies full, and it's crazy, and you go from being totally selfish and not having to worry about anyone apart from yourself, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, you are like, the baby is your number one priority, and I love that I get to look after him, and you know, but I'm also glad that I am not so anxious that I don't, that I'm scared to have time away from him. So I've got that balance back, which for me is what I was probably most worried about. How I would manage that.
Yeah, so, I think,
five weeks and all gone well. So I'm like, the wheels are going to fall off at some point. He is just too much of a good sleeper. So something is bound to happen, but I feel very grateful and lucky to have such a happy, healthy, and chilled out big baby. And he makes me want another one straight away. I'm like, I want another one.
Oh, isn't it the weirdest thing? You're like, you know, like, I wasn't super excited to be pregnant. I hated my pregnancy. So I was like, I never want to do that again. And then I saw him and I was like, yeah, I'll just, like, give me my
baby. I mean, and Jai is absolutely delicious. I can see why you would.
But I can, I really resonate with what you say about, like, you're getting to know this person, this baby. And I felt this, like, overwhelming feeling of protection, I think was the best word for it. Like, I wanted him to be safe and I wanted to protect him. But I was the same. I didn't feel this immediate, like, overwhelming feeling of love that some people talk about. And I think it sets us up for failure or feeling like something's wrong when actually that's totally normal. And you've grown this baby inside of you for 9 months, but that doesn't mean that when they come out all of a sudden, like, you know everything about them and you love them, like, more than anything else. It's sort of, it's a growing thing. And I think I interviewed Whitney off her, she's Champagne Chores on Instagram, and she said that she thinks you're either a newborn mum or a toddler mum. And I know Jai's not a toddler, like, he's not a toddler yet, but I feel such a connection to him now, and I'm utterly obsessed with him, and it's such a different feeling to when he was this tiny baby. So I just, I resonate with everything that you've just said.
Yeah, it is. It's like when you meet someone and you know, you've got to kind of get to know them, and even more so with the baby, you're like, you can't talk. Like, what are you thinking? They're just take from you. So it's so nice to, now that he's starting to smile, it's really cute, and just being like that over top, like, hi, to try and get it to smile. And I'm definitely all the stereotypes that you hear about mums, I'm like, that is me. Just everything about mums, I'm like, yep, that's me. Like, hair in a top knot, milk everywhere. I did not realize how much milk. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm just like covered. I'm like, is this sweat or milk? I'm not sure what's going on here. So there's so many things that you don't know, which is crazy, but it's all part of this amazing journey, and I definitely would not have it any other way.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jules, for coming on the podcast and sharing your story with us. I think there's heaps of information in there that people will love hearing. So I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your beautiful story with us and beautiful little Lenny.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Meg from Made with Love Pregnancy Journals for sponsoring this episode of the podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. I'd love to hear your feedback, so either leave a review on the podcast app that you're listening on or head to our Instagram at Kiwi Birth Tales and leave a comment there. If you're interested in sharing your birth tale, then please head to the Instagram page and use the email link to get in touch. Thanks again for listening. I really look forward to sharing the next episode with you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.